in the sexual classes, y'all
talked about Jonah today. And while Jonah went to Nineveh, Uzziah was reigning in Judah. So I'm going to talk to you about Uzziah today, King Uzziah. King Uzziah, when he came to the throne, he was 16 years old, young guy. And he reigned for 52 years, old guy. And his name means the Lord is my strength. If you studied King Uzziah, now, and we're going to be in 2 Chronicles 26 today, but if you went to 2 Kings, you wouldn't find the name Uzziah. He's under another name, Azariah. So I don't know why, but he's called Azariah in 2 Kings. He's called Uzziah in 2 Chronicles. And he's the only biblical king to be referred to as very powerful. So here's the question. Good king, bad king? What do you think? Good? I love doing this. I'm going to really be bummed when we run out of kings. Bad? Bad king? Good king? All bad? All bad. Everyone's bad. Sinners. All right, before we judge him too harshly here, in 2 Chronicles 26, this is what it says. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Amaziah had done. He sought God during the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. I mean, as long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. He goes down as a great king. Uzziah is known as a great, 52 years, a man who sought God. And in that time, while he's seeking God, we see a lot of great things happening. Uzziah prospered in battle. It says this in 2 Chronicles 26, verse 6. He went to war against the Philistines. You've heard about the Philistines. I mean, David fought the Philistines. They all fought the Philistines. Well, Uzziah conquered the Philistines. From this point on, the Philistines was not a problem because of Uzziah. So God helped him against the Philistines. God helped him against the Arabs and against the Midianites. Uzziah had a well-trained army. A total number of family leaders over fighting men was 2,600. And under their command was an army of 307,000 people who could make war with mighty power to help the king against his enemy. And in Jerusalem, he made machines. I love this. He made machines designed by skillful men for use on the towers and the corner defenses to shoot arrows and hurl large stones. What's that talking about? He made catapults. Isn't that cool? It's right there. It just doesn't call it catapults, but right there. He prospered in his building campaign. 2 Chronicles 26, verse 6 says he built cities in the territories of Ashdod and elsewhere among the Philistines. And Uzziah built up towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and the valley gate and at the angle and he fortified them. And he built towers in the wilderness and he cut out many cisterns. And so he's a builder. He's an engineer. And we see he prospered in bounty. In 2 Chronicles 26, verse 8, the Ammonites paid tribute to Uzziah. And that catches my attention because elsewhere, the Israelites and Judah were paying tribute to the Ammonites. So here, somehow through Uzziah, that got reversed. Now the Ammonites are paying Israel, they're paying Judah. And he had large herds, and he had farmers, and he had vine dressers in the hills and in the fertile lands, and he loved the soil. So you see Uzziah, he had a large army, and they were well fed because he had these wonderful crops. And the nation, there was peace. And there was prosperity, and it was good. Let me throw one more thing. And he prospered in reputation. It says in verse 8, his fame spread as far as the border of Egypt because he had become very powerful. And his fame spread far and wide, is what it says in verse 15. His fame spread far and wide. Now, interesting thing about fame. I like how Irma Bombeck, she said it like this here. It says, don't confuse fame with success. Madonna is one. And Helen Keller is the other. Okay, so, I mean, there's a difference between fame and success. And like George Washington Carver, he said it like this. He said, the only advantage of fame is that it gives you a platform for service. And what a great platform King Uzziah had to declare the glory of God. Look at what God has done. Look how awesome our God is. So we see here, Uzziah was successful at war. He was at peace, at planning, at executing. Uzziah is a total package. He's everything. Everybody loves success, but most of us don't understand where that success is coming from, what's maintaining that success. And so the question that I want to ask you guys, why is Uzziah so successful? Why are you guys so quiet? Did I scare you guys? He's just so intelligent. He's brilliant. What is it? He sought God. Thank you. Thank you for playing. I love this. Yes, as long as he sought the Lord, God gave him success. That's huge to me because we want to give credit everywhere else. But and I see this over and over and over through the scriptures. As long as we seek the Lord, God is the one who gives us success. The Hebrew word here, where it says, as long as he sought the Lord, the Hebrew word for seek, it means to trample underfoot. And at first, I didn't really understand. I'm like, that sounds like a bad thing, to seek, to trample underfoot. Until I kept reading, and what I saw here, it means to beat a path, to wear out a path. And so I want to give you this visual here, to beat a path to God. That's what it means to seek God. You're wearing out a path to God. And you run to God, and you go there frequently, every day, maybe multiple times a day. This is who you are. This is what it means to seek God. How many verses are there that tells us to seek God? Seek God first. So when I ask you, are you seeking God? Can you relate to this visual I'm trying to give you here? Are you beating a path to God? Is there a path between you, a well-worn-out path between you and God because you go there frequently? That's what it means to seek God. I want to ask you, are you doing that? I think it's important to think about that. Are you doing that? Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. This is what living by faith is all about. We go to God. We rely on God. We depend upon God. And this is who Uzziah was. This is who we need to be if we want God's favor. If we want God's success, we need to be people who are beating a path to God. I read in a commentary, the infamous Assyrian, Assyrian, I can't say the guy's name, I'm going to try, and then you guys are probably going to laugh or say, gee, Pete, you shouldn't even try it. Tiglath-Pileser, why'd you laugh? It's just, okay, he decided to extend his territory to the west. Okay, this is a king of Assyria. He's trying to extend his territory to the west. And Uzziah, it's Uzziah who united all the nations and successfully led them to halt the expansion of Assyria. As Assyria was trying to take over the Middle East, Uzziah was the one. He united all the other nations and stopped them. It was Uzziah who was a central hub of world politics at this time in the world. I mean, everybody looked to Uzziah to stop the bad guys. And if you look at where Judah had been when he came to the throne 40 years prior to this, it's incredible what he achieved. You know, this one guy, one leader, one man faithfully seeking God. It's amazing what he achieved. And you would think, you know, with all this, he had this mindset that he could do anything. And there's the problem. There's the problem. It says 2 Chronicles 26, verse 15, he was greatly helped until he became powerful. So this good king seems to be turning bad on us here. And what is the problem? The problem is pride. It says in 2 Chronicles 26, verse 16, after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. His VIP went to his HEAD. I read this. I thought this was cute. That human beings are the only creatures that when you pat them on the back, their heads swell. Yeah, this is what we do, you know. And I read a story. I thought this was really cute here. This little story here of this lady who's in a convenience store playing a video game, and she's playing. And the video game's called Tapper. Anybody ever hear Tapper? All right, I don't know this one. Yeah, and this is like years ago here, but she's playing Tapper, and one quarter, and she's been playing for 14 hours. One quarter, and I can kind of relate to that. I had a kind of experience like that. I was playing pinball, one quarter. I think I played for 3 hours. I was awesome. I was great. And this is, you know, so here's this woman. She's playing, and for 14 hours she's playing. And she got up to a record score of 7.5 million points. And she's getting all this attention. Everybody's gathering around. And somebody called a TV crew to come in and film what's going on here. So this TV crew, they come in to film her. And they're setting up the lights, and they got to plug in the lights. So they unplug the video machine. I think, yeah, all this sad. It's terrible. It's terrible. Terrible story. But you see, Uzziah was greatly helped, is what it says. Helped by having a godly mother, helped by having a godly father, helped by Zechariah the prophet, who taught him to fear the Lord. He was helped by a great and mighty army. He was helped by God himself. It was God who gave him success. Where's this pride coming from? Who does Uzziah think he is when he's surrounded by all these great people? And another thing I would point out, he was unfaithful, is what it says in verse 16. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God. At a certain point in his life, this man who was taught to fear the Lord, the man who was taught to walk with God, at a certain point, he started ignoring the word of God. He started ignoring the will of God, and he became rebellious. In verse 16, he was unfaithful to the Lord his God, and he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Which I'm thinking of, that sounds like a wonderful thing. It's great. I mean, he wasn't burning. He didn't go to the temple of Baal. He went to the temple of God. And he wasn't burning incense to an idol. He was burning incense to God. And Uzziah looks so spiritual to me. But you keep reading here, verse 17. Azariah, the priest, with 80 other courageous priests of the Lord, followed him into the temple, into the Holy of Holies. And they confronted him, and they said, "It's not right for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That's for the priest to do, the descendants of Aaron who have been consecrated to burn incense. Leave the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful, and you will not be honored by the Lord your God." Which leads me to the question, why was Uzziah doing this? Because he's just so caught up in the spirit. He just wants to worship, so he goes to the Holy of Holies and he worships God Almighty. Is it passion? Is it zeal? Is he trying to please God? Because this was not pleasing to God. What he was doing right here wasn't pleasing to God. I'm going to talk about that in just a second here. No, or was it just pride itself? Was it arrogance where he's thinking, "I'm the king and I can do whatever I want. Don't you tell me what to do. I'm king." And what I would point out to you, what he's doing here, it doesn't seem like some gross sin that he's doing. But what he was doing was strictly forbidden by the word of God. And he should have known that. In Numbers chapter 16 and Numbers chapter 18, what he's doing, he's entering the Holy of Holies. You can, not just anybody can enter the Holy of Holies with no permission and no consecration and no proper credentials. He's not a Levite. He's not a priest. He's not a descendant of Aaron. And I kind of want to go off here and just make this little case about the separation of church and state. I don't know if this is going to be beneficial or not, but I see this very clearly right here, that there's a certain role that God has called the government to do. And there's a certain role that God has called the church to do. The church has its place. The government has its place. I remember talking to J.R. Hines. I don't see him here. Is J.R. here today? I remember talking to J.R. Hines. He asked me a question. I wish I could remember the whole conversation, but he asked me a question, and I gave him a whole sermon that I don't think he was really asking for. But it was good. I was telling him, here's a problem I see going on in our nation today, that the government is going places where the government should not go, and defining what is moral. That's not the government's place, that's the church's place. The government needs the church to define what is moral and what is immoral. I think the government needs a church. You could think of all kinds of, it's the government's place for wrath and for discipline and for law and for justice, but it's the church's place for love and mercy and grace and what is right and what is wrong. What is the definition of marriage? Some of these things come from the church. And here's a problem in our nation is as the government has become kind of churchy because it's all love now and it's all grace and there's no justice. The church has felt this need to become political. And I understand it because I think the frustration is we feel like the government's not doing its part, so we have to do their job for them. Maybe the government feels like the church isn't doing their part, so they have to do our job for us. That's enough of that. Okay, I just feel like we need to see there's a place for the government and there's a place for the church. That's enough. I shouldn't even have gone there. Sorry. All right. So, but Uzziah, who it says here, he had a censer in his hand and he was ready to burn incense. Remember, Azariah the priest, with 80 other courageous priests, they come in, they confront him, they say, "This is not right. You should not be here. God will not honor you." And he becomes angry. And he was raging at the priest. He's angry. Earlier in his life, you see, Uzziah is a man who received godly counsel from Zechariah the prophet. And now we see him, he's rejecting the godly counsel of Azariah the priest and 80 other courageous priests. And this is what happens in verse 19. It says, while he was raging at the priest and in their presence before the incense altar in the Lord's temple, leprosy broke out on his forehead. And when Azariah, the chief priest, and all the other priests looked at him, they saw that he had leprosy on his forehead. So they hurried him out. Indeed, he himself was eager to leave because the Lord had afflicted him. And King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. He lived in a separate house, leprous, and excluded from the temple of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, had charge of the palace and governed the people of the land. So what's the punishment because of Uzziah's foolishness? There's this great man of God, this leader of the nation. But because of this one sin, what happened? He was struck with leprosy, and which I see that as, I'm thinking, you know, because people might be thinking, well, that's so harsh. I mean, he was just going into the temple to worship. But I see this is an act of mercy by God because according to the law, he should have been struck with lightning. Maybe not lightning, but the law requires him to be put to death, but he was just struck with leprosy. And leprosy took over Uzziah's body like pride took over his soul. And another interesting thing here, when you read the Old Testament laws about leprosy, it says in Deuteronomy 24, verse 8, in the case of leprosy, you are to do as the priest instructs. So this was a punishment to humble him. Before, he wouldn't listen to the priest. So now God struck him with a disease that put him under the authority of the priest. Here, you think you're king? You think you're in charge? You think you're the man? You got to listen to the priest now. The priest will tell you what you can and what you can't do now. So he's struck with leprosy, and he was separated. He lived in a separate house from everybody else because of leprosy. He's unclean. He's unclean. So he has to be removed from everybody else and live a life in isolation because leprosy makes you unclean. And leprosy is the disease that affected him externally. Pride is the disease that affected him internally. I'm just kind of curious. I'm wondering if pride is contagious like leprosy is contagious. And maybe because of his pride, he had to be removed from everybody else. Maybe because of his pride, it would be contagious, and other people would catch this ugly disease called pride and arrogance. Maybe we shouldn't be going around people who are proud and arrogant. I'm just kind of thinking: are there any political leaders out there who are proud and arrogant? I just can't think of anybody. But anyway, so no, move on. Just stop. Okay. And so he was struck with leprosy. He was separated. He was removed from God, excluded from the temple of the Lord. Those who covet forbidden honors forfeit allowed honors. Adam and Eve, in a similar way, when they did that which was forbidden, they ate from the tree of knowledge. They were banned from the tree of life. They were banned from the presence of God. And the Lord never healed Uzziah. He spent his final years in isolation. He was never allowed to worship in the temple again because he was unclean. And then we'd get to his death in verse 23. Uzziah rested with his fathers and was buried near them in a field for a burial that belonged to the kings, for people said he had leprosy. Just a couple thoughts about that verse right there. He was buried near the kings, not with the kings. So he was not remembered as what a great king this man, what a great guy. No, he's remembered as a leper. Uzziah died in humiliation and dishonor. 52 years of all these great accomplishments, and he's remembered as a leper, unclean. So what's the lesson here? What are we to learn from King Uzziah? First thing I wrote down, and we should go back to this all the time, God wants obedience. To obey is better than sacrifice. And how can you obey if you are not seeking? How can you obey if you're not listening? How can you obey if you don't know the word of God? If you don't know the will of God, you can't obey. And yet we justify in our minds that we're basically good people. We don't know if we're good people if we don't know what the word of God is instructing us to do. Or we're popular, or we're powerful, or we're rich, and somehow we feel good about ourselves. But in God's eyes, we are called to be obedient. Obedience is the first act of worship. If you're seeking God, if you love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, then obey Him. Seek Him and obey Him. The second lesson here that I have for us here is to understand. And I want us to take time with this because I'm thinking we say it, we know it, and maybe we become flippant about it, but to understand, God hates pride. He hates it. It's deceitful. It's destructive. It causes division. God hates it. And I want to give you a verse here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, a verse that I just feel like we need to just stop and think about what this is saying for a second here. Deuteronomy chapter 8, beginning of verse 11, this is what it says. Be careful. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe His commands, His laws, and His decrees that I'm giving you to this day. Otherwise, when you eat and you're satisfied, and when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increases, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I want to keep on reading here, but just let's think about us as Americans. Let's think about how this verse affects us as we get richer and richer, and yet we get further and further away from God. He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of the hard rock, and He gave you manna to eat in the desert, something your fathers had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and my strength and my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Why are we not falling on our knees and worshiping this great and awesome God who has given us so much? He's blessed us in so many ways. And look how our world is treating Him. Look at how our nation is treating Him. My fear is it's happening in the churches as well. And my fear is because we have become disobedient, we are getting ready to become disciplined. And I pray that the discipline will only be short and we will be a nation that returns back to God. But let it start with us. If nobody else will, we will. We will return to God. Proverbs 16, verse 18 says, pride goes before destruction. Proverbs 6, verse 16 and 17 says, there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to Him. One of those is haughty eyes. Proverbs 8, verse 13 says, to fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, says the Lord, and evil behavior and perverse speech. I hate it. Think about that. Do I have that verse up there? Yeah, I've got that one up there. Yeah, you need to think about that one. I hate pride. This is what God says. I hate pride. I hate arrogance. I hate evil behavior. I hate perverse speech. God hates it. And if God hates it, our God, if He hates this, then shouldn't we as well? Are you comfortable with pride and arrogance? Are you comfortable with evil behavior? Are you comfortable with perverse speech? No big deal. Maybe we go to church on Sunday morning and we clean up our act, but we go right back into it on Monday and Tuesday. God hates it. James chapter 4, verse 6, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He opposes the proud. It doesn't say He opposes the drunk. It doesn't say He opposes the murderer, the sexually immoral. I mean, all these things are bad, but He opposes the proud. He can't work with somebody who's proud. One more thing. Oh, I got so much more, but I'm moving on here. God is gracious to the humble. God is gracious to the humble. Those who seek him, those who depend upon him, those who honor him. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor, is what it says in 1 Peter 5. Let me give you another verse. Romans 12, verse 3. Do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. We are nothing without God. We are nothing without God. Micah 6:8 says, what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and what? To walk humbly with your God. Are you doing that? Are we doing that? I'll close with a little story about a donkey that woke up one time and walked into town and just thought everybody would like ooh and ah because, you know, who he is. He says, I'll go and show myself to them, and they'll throw their garments down and all this stuff. And so he goes in there, and nobody threw their garments down. In fact, they threw rocks at him. He said, get out of here. What's wrong with you all? I mean, he kept on walking, thinking, where's the palm branches? Where's the palm branches? You know, where's all the attention? And his mother said, you foolish donkey. You're nothing without Jesus. You're nothing without Jesus. You and I, we're nothing without Jesus. May we never forget that.